We're now coming in for the second feature of the evening. Heather Casby. Big round of applause. Please, a warm welcome and a big applause for Heather Casby.
Thanks, Rocco. And it's really, really nice to be here in a different capacity than what I usually was last year. It's a real treat. Those people who assume identities, for years they pretend to be lawyers, doctors, billionaires, what have you. And this poem is written in the voice of an imposter. The Shadow Life. Nimble and quick, we are the costume winners. Rapid fire, name changers, hat switching masters of the postures of trades. No procrastinations, all eyes and ears, focus champions, spewing stories everyone falls for. We know what we need, and you are it, pal. We never yawn on the job, snap at the staff, trip on a mat. And if you are left holding the empty bag, wallet, promise, well, it feels like your fault. And hey, if you're cured of your seizures, does it matter today if the surgeon's on call or in jail? Those places that advertise eternal pleasure. This one's called Hotel Everlasting. Many things about the place are puzzling. The man behind the counter answers your queries. Is there a roof garden? What's that sign mean? Is the money safe? By offering his profile. Which is fine, I guess. He's handsome enough. The woman behind the roller cart could be in love, but I think I'm wrong here. Nobody looks at her twice, and she's parked at a very unlucky number. Rolls and towels seem to have slowed her down, usurped her storage space and her sparkle. Well, we all change, get tired. But you'd think they could delve a bit. After all, we did pre-book the works, including ferry ride, gulls, slapping sounds, arms around waists, the usual last-ditch attempt to salvage Eros. And so we check in at these places where treats on the dresser and small soaps on the sink remind us to be happy. What's that? You yell from the shower, as hard candies ping the plastic curtain. Getting us in the mood, I say. You know, like mini bars, room service, piles of pillows. Everything is promised if we aim ourselves at some near, as yet unattainable, mark. Perpetual cleanup. Fly, you wild bird, half eaten by the smog. All sheets to the wind. Uh-oh, is it laundry day? These perversions are so mainstream since we lost count. I used to say please before you exposed me. In your dreams, you said. Now it's all lost in the bed linen. We wake up to the sounds of development. Is that mimical creak in the washing machine? If you roll over, you're out of the dream and your anger can really take shape. Sorry, I meant passion. And those times when you just can't put it all together. The poem is titled, How Many Times Do I Have To? Strips of indifference fresh from the paper shredder. Things that seemed important at the time. The way a poignant moment can go up in smoke and, as he said, into the corners of the evening. No, no, not Pound, the other one who went to England. Who am I thinking of? You know who I mean. It becomes a fault for not being a mind reader. A momentary irritation that branches off into wisps or curlicues that remind us of dollar signs. I'd been trying all morning to remember that sign for the British pound, something like an L. It's true I am partially greedy, which means I'm mostly too lazy to shoplift or steal a vase from the shelf in this gallery. It never works out anyway. Like the time I got the TV stand into the van, but we didn't have a place to live. You can't keep everything in mind. So where were we? Oh yes, Scotland. No, no, that spot was near Belfast. But we did use the same currency. At least you did. I'd lost my wallet, couldn't find my pocket. My daughter is here tonight, and I'd like to read this poem for her. Sorry. She's not shy like her mom. The poem's called Full Circle. He said, "You don't want to buy this place. There's nothing here." He looked up at clouds and said, "See what I mean?" It was very dark, and after I bought it, whenever I walked to the end, I could examine what had stuck to my boots. I could see what he thought he'd meant. The need is to stay out of earshot of crackpots. Though I sneak in humiliated, I am a conscientious coward. Everything gets inventoried. 4 miscarriages, 2 ectopics. I wear nice clothes and lipstick to walk to the end of the moist green, stamp down any clumps that have arisen. What is buried here was unable to find a way. A fetus returned from the lab, a ginger cat caught in traffic, a wedding ring. If it starts out damp, dark, and inviting, you're pretty sure you have a chance. And thus, the elf face, chubby legs, stuttering chin of a newborn. I'm a big fan of the British artist Stanley Spencer. And I had a friend who was doing a painting at one point of the last summer, and he did it in the style of Stanley Spencer. So this poem is called Sketch for April. Richard was planning his last supper. It would be after Stanley Spencer. Something about bunioned feet and one diner vomiting. I was trying to make my position known. A footbridge over Mimico Creek where I was planning to catch the passion play. Watch out, Richard, you're too close. They've unscrewed part of the Jesus, and there'll be fireworks for the tomb scene. Someone yelled, Jew. I was planning to say, you never can tell. Someone yelled, liar, and are you a girl? No free lunch here. A child nearby seemed to be wheezing. Last year when Richard died and I was planning to go to the funeral, his wife said, he's not Jewish, so it can't be on Holy Monday. Oh, not this Richard. That one was from Winnipeg. It all worked out quite well. Everyone grew into, and I could even catch the odd, hey, Hosanna, from my spot. Richard changed direction, and later I saw my mother. This one's all about perception. Why always me? The teeter-totters have sprung into action, slingshotting toddlers over my way and beyond. I can only catch so many with my butterfly net. Luckily, it has a calming effect, and the small, fluttering creatures are headed back for another turn. I feel very responsible trapped on this footbridge. It's a cynical, mimical creek rounding the bend this morning. I can smell the nasty mood, stuck as I am on this bridge of pickpockets and con artists. The 12 tasks are mine alone: to shore up the retaining wall, to haul out shopping carts, to smoke out rats, to sweep off the ladybugs. And here I am, going out on a limb, doing it all. There's a nuisance philosopher muttering around here, getting in the road of my global design. Speed it up there, droopy eyes. I'm a sharp-shooting broom lady with the strength of anger and a foul mouth to boot. What are those ducks doing peering up at me like that? Guess what? Bridge Over Mimical Creek is the title. A boring woman better get a new place, new creek, a new place to hang out, yeah. A boy was throwing pieces of bread at the ducks. I said, "Excuse me, but that is killing them." He turned and said, "Lady, these ain't stones." The confusion was clear. I cleared my throat and he spit on the ground. It seemed he wanted to share. The mallards clearly loved him and his bag of bread. "It's fucking whole grain," he said. I said, "Okay," and put my hand out. "But I don't really believe in feeding wild things. I think it disturbs." "Hey, they love it," he said. And I could see how I wanted to be fooled. "If I had a gun," he said, and I could see how I could be fooled. "You look pretty angry," I said. "What do you want from me?" he said. I could see I was fooling myself and making a fool of myself. I bit my tongue, let out a yelp, and took off in a huff. And finally, the last poem in the book. There are 7 obads sort of sprinkled throughout it, and I'd like to read one of them. "Praise be to the angels of morning breath. A waft of nasty odor is a sign of life. Praise a stretch, a crusty eyelid, stars in the skylight, and light in the sky. I am a woman, I am a man, praise that. Praise new formalism, old jewelry, a friend's negligence, and certain choreography. Praise a missed step at first light, a twisted ankle, big awkward feet, the application of witch hazel, and the promise of pancakes. Praise sudden fear at daybreak, the body returned to thought." And I'd just like to close with a new piece. The title is "Go Gentle Into That." A math prof fell asleep on my shoulder at the ballet. I didn't know him, but I had heard him tell the couple sitting behind that he was that. He also said retired. I think he was bored with Sleeping Beauty, or maybe tired from something or other. Maybe a wife who said, "You take the ticket, I don't feel like going." A math prof wouldn't be casual about money. He'd never say, "Fuck it, let's forget it." He wouldn't actually say okie dokie, but He would put the ticket in his pocket and back the car out of the garage and drive to the Four Seasons Center. Even with the head of a math prof on my shoulder, I was still able to thrill at the Prince Floribund and notice how someone kicked a fallen hair bow off the stage as she swirled by. And of course, the music. I was a bit surprised that someone who loves math would nod off because music is so close. Example, Donald Coxeter and his piano playing. I wondered if he had ever taught this math prof, who was old, but at least 40 years younger than the dead Coxeter. I started ballet lessons before I knew I loved math. I loved math, but I didn't know how to do it. I was too scared. I wasn't scared having a strange math man dozing on my body. He wasn't snoring or drooling. It seemed comforting. And I was taking advantage of a big brain at my disposal. I could absorb expertise and maybe get a handle on some good theorems. I was hoping his brain waves would travel up my neck and into mine. Already I thought I was having an easier time counting fouettés. Usually I get mixed up when I take my eyes off the legs, but I seem to be better at it now, so I silently thanked him. But it wasn't silent as I thought. My counting was shouting, 11, 12, 13, you go, beauty girl. If I sound cold or flippant or hysterical, it's because I don't know how to tell it to make it as it was. 911, 911, 911, everybody nearby. The math prof wasn't sleeping. I was holding him, and of that, at least, I'm proud. Thank you.